Not sure about you, but I'm not a big news guy. Maybe you are. Maybe you're one of those people that's glued to one of the news channels. I'm not going to give you my views on why, but I'm just not a big news guy. But obviously, like most of us, aware of what's happening in our world today. I'm not going to give commentary on that, except to say this. I believe this is a moment for the church. These seasons that we're in like this, painful as they are around the world for many, they're moments for the church not to sit back and twiddle our thumbs and wonder what we should be doing, but they're moments for the church to be who God has called the church to be. The problem is that many people in the church don't know what the church is meant to be. For some, it's just become a Sunday country club where we come, we give our dues, hug a few people, high five a few people, and get on with our life. And that's really not what the church is called to be. Do you know the church is very, very special in the eyes of Jesus? Are you aware of that? Just think of the most precious thing in your life or the most precious person in your life, how much time you devote to that, how much you love that, whatever that thing is. That's how the Lord feels about the church. He loves the church. And so this morning, I just thought, just I'll share a few of my own personal thoughts, having read some scripture on the church and what the Bible says about the church. The reality is you're not really interested in my thoughts anyway, but what does the Bible say about the church? How important really is the church to Jesus? You see, I believe the heart of Jesus is the same today as it was over 2,000 years ago. He really loves his church. Now, we look around and we kind of shrug and we disagree on doctrine and theology and different things like that. But Jesus really loves his church. And the Bible is, I was trying to come up with an illustration how to explain this. The Bible is like a photo album of the church. The Old Testament is like a photo album of, obviously, before the church was launched, of saying, this is what's coming, this is what's coming, this is what's coming. The New Testament is a photograph album, dozens of different pictures of what the church is like. That's why so many of the letters are written to who? Church, yeah. Church, as they say in the cell. Church. Church. So that's kind of how I see the Bible, especially the New Testament. It's a photograph album of the church. Now, we don't really have photograph albums a lot, but I remember back in the day in my office, I had a whole shelf dedicated to photograph albums of different seasons of my life and my family's life. And when you get nostalgic, you grab one of those, get a photograph album from 1983, and you pull that thing down and blow the dust off. You're like, oh my goodness, did I really look like that? Did I really wear that? Oh my word, what is going on in this picture? But that's a little what the Bible is like. It's, among other things, it's not only this, but it's like a photograph album regarding the church, showing different pictures of the church. You see, one picture can't capture it all. Like, I've got my family is my wife and I and our four kids, and Darlene's mother lives with us as well. And if you just took one picture of us, that's not a reflection of who we are as a family. That's a reflection of who we are at that particular moment. But if you get an album and look at pictures of us through the year, you start to see how weird and quirky we really are. You see, the church isn't just one-dimensional. The church isn't meant just to focus on one ministry. The church is called to be multifaceted and vast in its expression. The church, let's start with this. It was actually Jesus' idea. It wasn't some great church theologian or historian or someone famous in history. It was Jesus' idea. He said, in the Bible, he says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell won't stand against us. Matthew 16:18. When he said those words, Jesus was expressing a dream, something that was in his heart, and he had a blueprint for that dream, an expression for that dream. It was his idea, and he knew what, when he said, I will build my church, he knew what that was going to look like. About 12 years ago, Darlene and I started to ponder about building a house. And it started in a restaurant on a napkin. And Darlene started to draw some things out. And then she went back to the house and she started to go on the computer and design some things on the computer. They went to an architect and we took that drawing to an architect. And he started to give it some structure and stability and something that would actually not fall down when the wind came. But we had an idea of the house we wanted to build. We wanted a house of a particular size with specific rooms in specific locations. And we wanted certain things in our house. We said, hey, we're going to build our house. Well, if we're that detailed to the flooring, to the paint colors, to where the windows go, to the size of the windows, if we're that detailed in our frail humanity, imagine how detailed Jesus is in his blueprint when he said, I'm going to build my church. They weren't just castaway words. This was something very significant for moments like this. Few things about the church. The church in the scriptures is called, one of the snapshots we get, the pictures we get, it's called the bride of Christ. It's that scripture in Ephesians. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. The church is lovely in Jesus' eyes, which is hard to believe sometimes when we're quite good at finding fault with it, aren't we? Oh, you know that church up the road, you know what they do sometimes? Oh, my goodness gracious. And that church over there, oh, you don't want to go there. And that church leader over here, oh, my goodness, don't go near there. We're very good at that, aren't we? And yet in the midst of that, Jesus loves his church. Later this year, Darlene and I would have been married 32 years. And I know you look at her and you look at me and think, how the heck does she put up with him for 32 years? But let me tell you this. You can say what you want about me, and I'm not a tough guy. But you can say what you want about me, and I'll kind of laugh it off. I might get a little insecure about it and go home and kind of complain or whatever. But you can say what you want about me, and that's okay. You know where this is going, right? Don't you say anything about my... Now, there's nothing to say bad about her, first of all. Husbands, learn from what I just did right there, okay? There's nothing you can say bad... But if you said anything bad about my wife, you would see Ninja Brit come out. All right? Woodhouse Balboa. I'd press the play button on the Rocky IV soundtrack... And we would go to war. Why? Because I love my wife. And you can't say anything bad about her. And you know, on our wedding day, when she walked down the aisle, she looked radiant. You see, I wasn't going to marry an ugly girl. I wanted to marry a beautiful, godly, pure, wonderful woman. And man, I hit the jackpot. Do you think Jesus wants an ugly bride? I don't think so. And Jesus is jealous about his bride. And listen, I'm just going to say this. If you've ever spoken negatively about a church in this reason, just kind of repent of that before. You haven't got to say anything here. Just go to the Lord and say, God, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to speak bad about your bride. Forgive me. Because I don't want to face that wrath. Okay? And you can argue, oh, their theology is this, whatever. You take that to the Lord. I'm not speaking bad about the church. Jesus loves his bride. We're called to love the bride. The second picture about the church we get in the Bible is the church is his army. It says in 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not wage battle according to the flesh. There are multiple scriptures in the New Testament that refer to the church as a warring entity. We're here for a reason, to fight a spiritual battle that no one else can fight, because only the church has the weapons to fight that spiritual battle. Some of those weapons are found, we read about the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. You know, every day it seems like it's a battle now, a battle against humanism, a battle against and the Antichrist spirit, a battle against all these different things. But the church is the army of God. Another picture we get in the scriptures, another photograph we get in the scripture of the church, is the church is his body. In Romans chapter 10, it says, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we're parts of one another. The church is his body. It's not an accidental picture that kind of made it by accident in the Bible there. It's a true picture, a great picture of the body of Christ. You are part of the body, and then this church is part of the wider body of Christ. It's a real meaningful description. We're not static numbers on a list. We're active members of something that's alive and breathing and passionate in the eyes of Jesus. He loves his church, his body. And then there's this picture, which I would like to focus on this morning. The church is God's family. And from the start, the church was called to care for orphans and widows in their distress. And from the start, the church was set up to train families and look out for one another and care for one another. You see, Jesus loves his family. And I'd like to share some truths about the church as a family. And yes, I'm talking nationally and globally as a church, but I'm talking as well about our church family here, the church family that God called John and Christine Morgan to launch and to start and to steward and pastor. And boy, they do it so well. And you know they do it well because you know how terrible you can be sometimes. This is the church that God's called us to be part of for this season. And it's a beautiful truth that we're called to be a family. Now, for some of you, what I'm going to share will just be a little bit of a reminder of what this church is all about. We're called to love one another, to build up one another, to encourage one another, to serve one another, to comfort one another, to carry one another's burdens. And maybe you're new here. It'll help you understand what family means in this particular setting. We're to confess our sins to one another. We're to forgive one another. But as I've got to know John and Christine, I see that this church is a place where lives are shared and connected. But you don't have to be perfect. Just look around for a minute, because it's a pretty good job that we don't have to be perfect, right? It's a place where wounds are not hidden, but they're actually seen and healed. And we celebrate with one another and we speak truth in love to one another. It's a place where your opinion as a family member is valued. We try and have dinner as a family, the seven of us, just about every night. It's one of the things of our family. And as our kids get older, they're 15, 16, 18, and 21 now. It's a little more challenging because people go in different directions. But we try and have a family meal together every single day. And when we do, all of my kids know this. Whether daddy and mommy agree with their opinions or not, there is a place for their opinions. They can share their opinions. And sometimes we'll look at them and kind of roll our eyes at them. And occasionally daddy stands up and bangs the table. Doesn't he, Talia? But all of our opinions, there's a place for it. You know, that's what family is like. You may have a really quirky opinion, but you can bring your opinion here. It may get challenged, but you can bring your opinion here. Because a family is where every opinion is valued, where dreams are encouraged. I don't know what your dreams are for life. I hope you've got some dreams for your life. But a family is a place where dreams are encouraged. A family is a place where each one can be safe and secure, even if our theologies differ. I would pretty much guarantee, if you are a theological person, if you and I were to sit down for any length of time and talk about any realm of theology, at some point we're going to butt heads and disagree. It's just because no two people have identical theology on every realm of that subject. Because theology is such a wide and vast umbrella over us. We could talk about eschatology. And probably within a few moments, there'd be a disagreement between those who are more Baptist-based and those who are more Pentecostal-based in their backgrounds. But you know something? That's okay. We don't come here because we have a checklist of 10 boxes of theology that we have to agree with. We come here because we're family, with some differences and some quirkiness and some variety. And I think that's what makes us beautiful. I love that about this church family. This is a family where we love each other and encourage each other, not just on Sundays. And I would say this, what a photo album this church is already. What an incredible photograph album we have here at Christ Fellowship. So there's kind of an introduction, and I want to read a scripture now. And I would say this is probably one of the most challenging scriptures in the Bible. And some families have been torn apart by this scripture, or actually this is a scripture that's in the scriptures to bring us together. In Luke chapter 8, verse 19 and 21, this is both profound and powerful and challenging. It says this, Luke chapter 8, verse 19. And Jesus' mother and brothers came to him, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. And it was reported to Jesus, your mother and your brothers, they're standing outside, they want to see you. And Jesus said, oh, my darling mother, my darling brothers, make room for them to come. No, he didn't say that. It says, Jesus answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Could you imagine being the mother and brothers of Jesus and having that reported back to you? They're trying to get to Jesus, they can't get through, and they're like, let us in. And then when someone comes out and says, hey, Jesus, just so you know, Jesus just said his mother and brothers are actually those that hear the word of God and do it. How shocking that would be. And yet what a revelation that is to how Jesus sees family. You see, we all have our personal definition and understanding of what family is based on our history, our own families, as weird as they may be. And these understandings, based on our experiences, sometimes cloud what the scripture talks about regarding family. Hear what the Father says and do it. That word hear in the Greek is the word akouo. And it means to consider what has been said, to learn it and to understand it. It's not just in one ear and out the other. But it's to receive, to hear, to learn, and to understand what's been said. And then the word, when Jesus said, that hear my word and do it, that word do is the Greek word poieo. And it means to carry out and do a thing correctly and rightly. So it's not just, yeah, I think what Jesus meant was this, so I guess we'll do that as a church. It's hearing what Jesus says, learning from it, and then accurately putting that into practice. Hearing and doing the word of God. Now, family is not where everything is supposed to flow smoothly. I look back at some of our family pictures. You know when you have the family pictures, mom, dad, the kids, we all kind of get there. And I look at some of our pictures, and whenever we took family pictures, there was a few things we could guarantee. Number one, one of our kids would always go cross-eyed on purpose. Always go cross-eyed. And of course, we couldn't see because we're there like, everyone say cheese, and then one of our kids would go and do the cross-eyed look. Almost every picture, we've got one of our kids looking cross-eyed. And then another one of our kids would do the stern face. Everyone go, cheese, and one of them would go. So we've got these pictures with one kid with cross eyes, one kid looking stern and angry. And then for some reason, every picture or many pictures of our family, I've got my eyes closed, which I never understand because I don't walk around with my eyes closed. And when I have conversations with people, I don't have conversations with my eyes closed. My eyes are always open. And when I eat my food with my eyes open. And yet for some reason, when people take pictures of me with my family, my eyes are closed. It makes no sense at all. The only time I close my eyes normally is when I go to sleep. And I guarantee when I'm having pictures taken, I'm not sleeping. Malachi, stand up straight. Talia, don't do that. Solomon, come here. Hezekiah, get closer. I've not got my eyes closed. They're open yet every picture. One's boss-eyed. One's looking like Sylvester Stallone, and I'm here with my eyes closed. You see, family isn't where everything flows smoothly. It's not where everyone always speaks nicely to each other all the time. It's not a place where nobody has problems. Family is not where you get to be the best you 100% of the time, but here's what we do. Maybe you argued all the way to church. Maybe you had a terrible, you walk through this door. Oh, hi, Pastor. Praise the Lord. God is good all the time, God is good. Oh, bless you, brother. So good to see you. Oh, sister, you look so glorious today. I see the radiant light of Jesus shining on you. Absolute baloney. You fought with your family on the way here. Your stomach hurts, and you're just mad at the world. Why don't we be real about it when we come in? Listen, I'm just going to be honest with you. I've come into this church. We've been coming here for a few years now. I've never come in here and said, hey, how you doing? And someone says, bad. Never. Every time I've said to any of you, how you doing? Oh, praise the Lord. God is good. I'm doing great. It's been a great week. You know what I'm thinking? Jim Carrey style, liar, liar. Unless you've got something I haven't got, that's not how it is. Every Sunday morning from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Because family ain't like that. How about we get real? Just be real with each other. I love it when I talk to a brother or sister in Christ and we're just real about the challenges. Because then I realize, oh, yeah, you're not like this high level above me. You're actually the same as me. You're having trouble paying some bills? Yeah, me too. You got some health issues? Man, yeah, I know about that. You got some family challenges? Yeah, I have as well. You wouldn't believe it if I told you. Be real with one another, because that's what family is. It's a place where we can be real. It's a place of real life. In Matthew 18, when Jesus said, I'll build my church, the word used in there for build is the word oikodomeo. And it's a word that's used to build a house. One way we could translate, when Jesus said, I will build my church, one way we could translate that is, I will build my family and call it church. I will build my family home and call it church. And everywhere we look through the New Testament, we find that churches are seen to be extended families of God's children. Here's what we're up against, though. The world shouts, friends! What do you have on Facebook for those of you who are my generation? We have, how many friends do you have on Facebook? What's probably the most famous, well-known American sitcom of all time? I'll be there for you, friends. Some who are slightly older, like, oh. I mean slightly older than me. Friends is good, but God has designed us to be family. Now, with that in mind, I want to give three pictures of what family is and is not. And they're going to be pictures from my family's journey through life. You see, there's two, in every situation, there's two ways we can see the church. And each one of us gets to sit on one side of the fence or the other. Once or twice a year, we as a family love to go to the movies together. Any movie fans here? I'm not one of these people who likes to go every week. Can't really stand that. But a couple of times a year we go. And one of those times is usually the day after Christmas. In England we call it Boxing Day. But the day after we go as a family, we go to the movie. And I love going to the movies. Because what we do, we roll up. We walk in. Tickets are already paid for. That was convenient. Did it online. Love that. We go in. We get a little popcorn, a little drink, a few snacks. That's a lie. We smuggle stuff in, okay? You know, I said, let's be real. The Christian me, oh yes, we go, we pay full price for all the popcorn. No, we don't. We go to Harris Teeter on the way. Okay, some of you are like, I'm ready to leave. This guy's a heathen. We go to Harris Teeter on the way. We get candy and a few things, and then we kind of put them in our inside pockets. I tell you this, before I was married, I was known. I actually smuggled a full-size pizza into a movie theater once. Thank you very much. So that's what we do. We get our snacks. We've got them all in our back pockets, their inside pockets, and we take all these things in. And then we picked our chair out. We made sure we got the chair that we wanted. We make sure we go to the theater where the seats go back so Grandma can have a snooze. And we go in there. We lean back. We watch the movie. We enjoy the surroundings. We take advantage of all the benefits. We obey the rules. And then we go home, and we were entertained. And so many people treat church like that, like a form of entertainment. We turn up, we get some spiritual snacks, or sometimes we bring some of our own. We sit back and we enjoy the show, we take advantage of the benefits, we obey the rules, and then we go home. But you know, church isn't supposed to be another form of entertainment. We're a real life, living, breathing, flowing community that shares life together. You know something else we love to do? We love to go to restaurants. Now, I used to like it a whole lot more when kids ate for a dollar and all my kids were under 10. I'd be like, a buck each. Yeah, come on, you have that 99 cents meal, kiddos. We want some. No, you don't have anything else. Just that 99 cents. I used to love those times. It's not like that anymore. I have to take a mortgage out of my house every time I go for dinner now. But we love to go out for dinner. And you know what? You walk into a restaurant and you in a good restaurant, you get treated really well. Mr. Woodhouse, yes, we have your reservation for 7:30. Yes, you want a window table? Yes, please come this way. Thank you very much. I don't mind if I do. I feel very important. And we go to our table, and the table is clean, and the silverware's already out. And someone brings our drinks on a tray to us. They ask us, how would you like your steak cooked? Or for my kids, how would you like your burgers cooked? And we get waited on by strangers. And if we don't like the food, we send it back if it's not cooked perfectly. And we fill out the comment card with glee. And we ask for a discount if one small thing isn't quite right. When we go to restaurants, I am the king. That's just how it is. And I get my credit card out at the end, and I feel very important. And I give it to the person. I don't know, they walk off. I have total trust of this person. Give them my credit card, and they walk into a back room somewhere. I think they could be buying all sorts of things off Amazon while they're out there for that 5 minutes. I don't know what they're doing. But you see, it's wonderful when we do that. We go out for dinner. Other folks even clear up. We don't even have to stack our plates up. When we're finished, we wipe our mouths, we put our napkins down, we get up and we leave. Dirty plates on the table. And someone else comes and cleans them up for us. It's great. But it's not family. If I tried even one of those things at home, right, I'd be in big trouble. If the food isn't perfect, well, you're cooking tomorrow then. And don't ask for a comment card at dinner table at my house. You want some change? Change it. You want a drink? You know where the fridge is. Oh, you want a discount, do you? You see, when we eat as family, everyone has a responsibility. We serve each other, and it's the same with the church. This isn't a restaurant. This is family. Can I give you another example? We love. Like, I found out in South Carolina and North Carolina, people are either beach people or mountain people. That's the divide. Forget Republicans and Democrats. No. It's beach people or mountain people. That's it. I don't understand you weirdo mountain people. Why would you want to drive 3 or 4 hours, spend a ton of money on a place, and then you sit up there and say, oh, it's a nice view. And the next day, oh, look, there's a bit of cloud. Isn't it still a nice view? And you just, what do you do up there? It's so boring. Take me to the beach, baby. I can swim, and I can get the surfboards out. Well, body surfing, I don't give a false impression. Body surfing, you know. I'm not up there like this. No. Anyway, we love to go to the beach. And we love having one of those beach rental places. You know those places, rental houses you go to? And it's great because you walk in, you book it online, and you walk in, you punch the code they give you, you walk in, and the air conditioning is already set exactly how you want it. I'd like my house set at 68 degrees, please. You walk in there, and it's 68 degrees. Beautiful. And in the bedrooms, all the beds are made, and there's a little pile of towels on each bed, and everything's tidy. And everything's, and if anything breaks, I don't have to do anything. I'm not on duty. I make a phone call to this number. Yes, hello. We're in this particular address. Could you please come and fix this? That thing's quite not quite right with this toilet. It's not quite flushing properly. Could you come and fix it? Within 30 minutes, someone's on the door with Bob the Builder with a toolkit and everything else, and they fix it and go off. It doesn't cost me any more money. The kids don't have to keep their room tidy because we're only going to be there a few days. And we do whatever we want with our time. We're surrounded by beaches and ice cream and everything that makes us happy. But the rest of the year, it's not like that. When we get home, there are responsibilities. Someone has to feed the dog. I don't have a number I can call for the dog to be fed. Someone has to go out on the farm and feed the sheep and water the sheep. We had 3 lambs birth 2 weeks ago on our homestead. And someone has to go and kind of make sure everything's okay. We're not calling the vet to do that. Someone has to empty the dishwasher. Once it's full, you press the button. That's the easy part. But then it has to be emptied. If you don't empty it, you've got no place for the rest of the week. Someone has to tidy their room. Daddy needs help. Mummy needs help. Every family member in a family helps carry the load, right? All of our kids have learnt, most of our kids have learnt to take their dishes to the sink, rinse them, and put them in the dishwasher. They feed the dog. They sweep the floor. I tell you, Hezekiah, our youngest, every morning he gets up, first thing he does is he goes into the garage, he gets a scoop of sheep food, runs down, feeds the sheep, makes sure they're okay, comes back in. Everyone has their jobs. Every family member looks to do things that will benefit the whole family. If something breaks, guess who has to fix it? We do. It's our home. You see, the church family, it's very easy to come in and everything seems to be working for. All the words are good. Music's good, seats are comfortable, temperature, it's a little warm, I'd like it a bit cooler. If I had my way, be a little cooler, you say. I'd like a bit extra padding on my seat, but they're okay, you know. That's pretty good. I can just sit back and watch the world go by. Well, actually, there are some family members here who would really love some help. We have the, have you heard of the rule of the three shushes when you go anywhere? You don't know the three shushes? Whenever you go anywhere, you shave, you shower, and you show up. That's the three shushes. We have that rule in things. When you go somewhere, make sure you're clean, presentable, and you show up with a good attitude. Shave, shower, and show up, the three shushes. But that's often how we do church. We shave, we shower, we show up, and then go. Look at what Jesus said in Luke 8. He said, Jesus said, my mother and my brothers, my family, are those who hear, learn, understand the word of God, and do it. Put what they've heard, learned, and understood into practice. And here's the reality, church family, and we're wrapping up here. I know some of you got lunch reservations. You're like, man, this Englishman's going on a bit. We're almost there. The plane's coming into land, baby. If you're not plugged in, serving, getting involved, doing a chore, treating church like family, then you know what? It's not going to feel like family. If you just follow in the rule of the three shushes, it won't feel like family. And if it doesn't feel like family, you'll either get into entertainment mode, restaurant mode, or vacation mode. And if you get into those modes, you won't know what it really feels like to be part of a messy, complicated family. And it's beautiful. It's really beautiful. Some of you guys are some of the weirdest people I've ever met. And you're awesome. I love it. And you're there like right back at you, Woodhouse, right back at you. Don't miss the closeness and the relationships and the connections and the beauty and the very heart of Jesus, which is family. Family is not disposable, it's essential. Family is not an optional extra. It's the fabric of who we're created to be. It's not a luxury. It's an everyday necessity that will help us to grow to be more like Jesus. And it's not always convenient, but it's really, really necessary. And family is important to Jesus. And that's why he gave us a photo album with lots of pictures of what the family, the church, looks like. And so I want to encourage you, don't come here to be entertained. Get plugged in. No one else can do it for you. I can't plug you in. You're not like my phone charger. I say, okay, let me plug you in. I can't plug you in. No one else can do it for you. You've got to make the decision that says, as imperfect as it is, this place is my family. I'm going to connect and not just be entertained. And let me tell you, Jesus loves it when his family is connected. Don't come here to eat, tip, and go. Do something at the family dinner table. Make a choice today that you'll do something in the family, because Jesus loves it when he sees his family serving together. Not just a few up on a 8.5-inch elevated stage doing it and everyone else observing and saying, oh my, they did quite a good job today. I'll give them 7 out of 10, I think. Let's all just take part, not eating, tipping, and going. And Third, don't just come here for a little break from your reality. That's what vacations are, right? It's a break from reality. Don't come here just for a break from your reality. Sure, everyone starts as a guest. The first Sunday we came here, first time we actually came in here actually was in the middle of the whole COVID debacle. And we came here because it was one of the only places that was actually open. And there were other churches that were open. They were great, but this one was open. And that's when we first came here. And we started as a guest. But don't stay in that function. Don't stay as a guest. Get involved in the family home. Don't just swoosh in with your glorious presence and swoosh out again. Jesus loves it when he sees his family carrying responsibility together. The responsibility of the family home. See what's happening and join in. There's always plenty that needs to be done. I'm convinced that Jesus loves his church. He loves his army, warrior church. He loves his church, the body. He loves his church, the bride. But I know that he loves his church, his family. And those who are his family hear the words of the Lord and do them. So I want to encourage you today. No hands raised, no come to the front if you believe in this. Just make a choice that says, you know what? I don't want to just come here and be entertained, fed, and have a break from my reality of my life. I don't want to come through that door and be fake every Sunday. I want to come here to family and be real. And I want to be part of the photo album that God is putting together at Christ Fellowship. I'm going to connect, I'm going to serve, and I'm going to take responsibility. Amen? Let's stand and pray, shall we? Well, Lord, we thank you for this church family here. Thank you for Christ Fellowship. Again, we thank you for John and Christine, their faithfulness in launching this church those years ago and faithfully pastoring this church. But Lord, we don't want to leave it all to them. We know that each one in this room has a part to play. We don't just want to be the three shushes, but we want to be family members. And so, Lord, forgive us for coming in fake and leaving fake. I pray that more and more we would come in and just be real. That we wouldn't come here to be entertained. We wouldn't just come here to be fed. And we wouldn't just come here to get a break from our everyday life. But we would come here to be with our family. Give us a fresh understanding of and reality of what that means. We want to be those that hear the word of the Lord and do the word of the Lord. And we just take a moment now to pray a blessing on every church in this region. I thank you for the different expressions of who you are, different expressions of your body and your family and your bride and your army in this area. And we just take a moment to pray the blessing of the Lord upon them. Lord, bless those big mega churches that draw thousands and thousands of people. And I pray you bless those small churches that meet in people's homes and everything in between. We say, let the presence and the blessing of the Lord, especially during these days, be upon the church in this region. And we pray that, including us, every church would stand up and do what you've called us to do. Let the church shine bright in these days, we pray. And let your family rise up and be who you've called it to be. Those that obey, that hear the word of the Lord, and obey the word of the Lord. I thank you for this family, for each one here, for the many that are not here. We just thank you for this church family. Draw us together, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, enjoy the rest of your day. You know what? You don't have to leave straight away. That's like the dirty plates on the table. Now you get out. Why not be family? Start now. Hang around, unless you have to. Hang around for a little while. Get to know someone you don't know. Be family. God bless you.